We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago Sports Talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
I think when we trade up for guys, it's the first thing that comes to my mind, Kevin, is the conviction that we have throughout our building. You know, so you know when there's kind of a consensus pick and you can feel it from our coaches and scouts. And I know that everybody's going to be excited when we make that selection and walk out of that room. It gives me more confidence to go do that.
It was hard to get past that as the one thing he said that kind of jumped off the page at you. This idea that they want to have everybody on board with what they're doing. I don't know that you need confidence to go up and make a move if you have personal conviction about what that move is, but I would hope that we would have a situation like the old Jewish scholars, where you would challenge a guy as he's making a point and even say something along the lines of, well, if you're making this argument, then you should say this. You can support someone's argument by challenging it. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. But the idea that you're going to make a pick because, you know, when you come out, everyone's going to cheer and there's going to be a lot of high fives and everyone's celebrating, that's insane to me.
I agree totally with the fact that you can't run an organization that way. You have to, at some point in time, hold yourself accountable and be confident enough in the convictions that you have over a decision that you make, even if it's a big one, like they did with Mitch Trubisky. And I applauded him that night because I thought it was a general manager acting with conviction. That said, and we accept those truths, this is not the year that I want Ryan Pace to prove to anybody, and I don't think it's best for the Bears' future for him to try to go into draft night thinking, I'm going to show them that I have this conviction and I haven't lost it, and I'm going to get my guy, even if it means mortgaging the future to prove my point. No, I want him to be worried about a consensus maybe this year and to say, okay, I'm going to go into this with a clear head and without trying to prove a thing. I'm going to block out the noise and any external pressure that I might feel to make a splash, because this isn't a decision about the next 8 to 10 months. Ideally, it's one that can help you the next 8 to 10 years.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Here we are. It is upon us. Roll out the red carpet. Turn the searchlights on and move them. Shake them if you must. But whatever you do, get to Cleveland. Because here it is. Draft day is upon us. A time of renewal. A time of replenishment. It's the NFL draft, David.
It's a Woo-hoo! Wonderful time. Good morning, Mully. Happy Thursday. Happy draft day. We have been waiting a very long time for this day. And if you are guys who have covered the NFL, as we both have, for a very long time, football guys, some people refer to us as, you bask and you savor every minute of this day because it is a lot of fun. There's hope and promise. The whiff of optimism in the air. It's like opening day to baseball fans. Today is going to be a fun day.
Yeah, let me tell you something. This is this is the day of hope, and it runs through the weekend, right? We've got today where you have the first round, and goodness gracious, what are they going to do? The 20th pick, where's the trade? Do you move up? Are you moving down? Are you staying at 20? Do you get the foundation building block, or do you swing for the fences and try to grasp at one of these quarterbacks that are so elusive? You got that going on today. Tomorrow, rounds 2 and 3. Saturday, 4 through 7. These next few days will determine where this team is at heading toward the start of the season. It's
what a weekend. Absolutely. Yeah. What a weekend. Yeah. Starts today, and I got my sheet of paper. And if I were Ryan Pace, or if I were sitting next to Ryan Pace or having breakfast with Ryan Pace, I would hand him the sheet of paper, Sonny Weaver Jr. style. And I would say, and on it would be written, offensive tackle or cornerback, no matter what. And one or the other. And let that compel every decision that you make and influence you in a way that you remember what is important today. Because you're right. This is the beginning of a three-day process that if you wake up Sunday morning and you do it right, Chicago Bears fans and Chicago Bears front office, you can wake up Sunday morning, Molly, I believe, feeling like you have a legitimate team that can make a real run at a playoff spot. I think the Bears have that capability if they handle this draft correctly.
That's not what people want to hear, David. That's not your that's not enough ambition. I want you to say you're going to wake up and you got a team that's capable of winning the Super playoff run. They got a playoff run last year. They were 8-8. And they got a very beatable team, by the way, in the opening round of the playoffs, and they did nothing.
See, okay, that's the trap. That is the trap. I love that ambition. Everybody wants to win the Super Bowl, but if Ryan Pace feels that sort of pressure, and if he feels compelled to act in that sort of way, I've got to go out and get my Super Bowl winning quarterback. I've got to overinflate my evaluation of a Trey Lance, of a Mac Jones, maybe even of a Justin Fields, and I'm going to give up the future to react to those present pressures. That's how you make mistakes, and I think that would be a mistake for the Bears to do.
Well, I mean, he who has no quarterback will rot on the vine, as the old saying goes. Without the quarterback, you don't get yourself the championship. So, David, I think you're missing the point. The whole point of the offseason, the whole point of the exercise, everything's on the table over the quarterback. We're going to get Russell Wilson in here. Yeah, everybody,
okay.
Let's go.
Okay.
That doesn't work out, okay? Okay. We got the red rifle, huh?
Okay.
That doesn't work out. Not all yet, right. Anyway. You've got to get that player. If we are sitting here on Monday morning and there's no quarterback, I mean, I'm not saying they have to get the quarterback tonight, but if they did, what kind of conversation are we having tomorrow? We're going to be worried about whether they make the move or not. Get, you know, be always drunken. Nothing else matters. Don't be a slave to time. Be drunken with what? With wine, with poetry, or with quarterback, as you will.
Quote whatever poet you want. The reality is that there's not a quarterback out there that is going to make you a Super Bowl contender by Sunday morning. There just isn't a move you're going to make you kind of drunk with that kind of optimism. I live in a world called reality, and the reality is that the Bears are to the point where I'm not saying you're not going to get a quarterback this weekend. I believe you could get the player that can help you week one tonight. And then tomorrow in the second round, get a quarterback that you can be excited about and develop. And, in the second round, he's not going to be a top 10 guy, but he's a guy that you can absolutely see a bright future for. And then you have to start somewhere, and the arrow can continue to point up. If you go out and you spend your future capital and you waste it on a definite maybe, I think that would be a mistake. But I understand, you know, that maybe lacks ambition. It might be like settling somehow. But I just think that is the smartest route for Ryan Pace to take.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as euphoric as the idea of taking the shot.
It's not.
It's probably less likely to end in horrible quarterback hangover, the type of which we've seen in this town for many years. Yeah, I suppose you're right, David, and there's part of me that agrees. But on this glorious draft day, after watching a rainout for the Sox, and I don't know what you call the thing that happened to the Cubs.
Oh, my God, that was quite horrible.
I just, the Bulls are making their playoff. Okay,
who?
Never mind. Yeah, I think I need like a little happy news. I might need like a sort of a intoxicated feeling that comes with, you know, we're throwing the whole franchise at it. Everything's on the table, maybe it is time to move up and grab that guy. And you said you surprised me there because you talked about the three guys that will be left over, and there will be only two of them. I would if Justin Fields starts free falling, mm-hmm. if he gets to, I don't know, 15, 16, if he gets beyond 15, don't you have to, you know, saddle up, get on your horse and go get him? A player like that, a player that could be that good for you?
Depends on the price. It absolutely depends on the price. Okay. And I think that once that begins to happen, and there's some feeling that could happen. Would you gamble and say, well, maybe he's going to be there at 20. Maybe he's going to continue to fall to us. And if that happens, then I do think that's a different scenario. And you pounce at that opportunity if the opportunity presents itself. Look, and I love to hear you wax poetic. And I love the optimism in the air. But all I want to ask is, and we can find this out over the course of the next, 4 hours or so, what in the world would you see in Ryan Pace's track record that would allow you to believe that doing everything that you just described, which I typically love, I love going out and saying, all right, let's do this big and let's think positive and let's go try to, put this idea together and make it reality. What has Ryan Pace done to make you trust that he's going to make the right decision? And if he makes a decision tonight regarding the quarterback position, isn't all of Chicago going to think, whoa, I don't know about that because of history?
Well, I there is that, David. And I think part of what I'm trying to bring to the table this morning is the euphoria that you feel. I mean, we're in the draft room right now.
Yeah.
So Mully shot out of a cannon. He wants to go fix everything. And David is being sensible and saying, calm down. We've got to be. And that's exactly the blend you need, David.
Okay.
You belong
yes.
in that room. Because someone needs to just stop and say, excuse me, but do you realize that when we did this before, that's how we got here? It is important to have both feelings, if you will.
Absolutely.
You understand the adrenaline that flows through you on draft day. I think we all do. Anybody that hears the ding, 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 and then with the 20th pick in the NFL, with the 14th pick in the NFL, with the 7th pick, and how did they get to 7? There is a feeling
it's
that something could happen, but the reality is it probably shouldn't. You
right.
probably
well
need to
put.
Stay where you're at.
That's it.
But I do think you the urge to kind of
everything
get my
better.
Horse.
Everything
get
looks
this
better.
Saddle on it.
Everything looks better on draft day. Everything is kind of magnified in our eyes. Heck, Kevin Costner has never been more handsome than he is today. I want to watch draft day twice today. And you know what, though? By the end of this show, you're exactly right. By the end of the show, I don't think that we're going to have a consensus on what the Bears should do, and we shouldn't. And I think you're exactly right. You want differing opinions, you want countering viewpoints, and you want the pros and the cons to be weighed out heavily on each decision and each player taken. And I think that the way you've described the approach is defensible. The way that I've described my approach is defensible. And you want two defensible positions, and then whoever's making the final call to make that final call and own it.
Right. And not share it and not say, oh, it was consensus, it was groupthink. If it works, that's great to give everyone to throw rose petals all around. That's wonderful. Oh, everybody, please walk over here and I'll do a little pose with you. I get that idea. But right now, it's about leadership, authority. It's about knowing how to make the right move and not relying on everyone else to give you a push toward it. So we'll see. And I mean, there is a possibility, David, that one of these guys starts falling. And the only question I'll have, if indeed the Bears wind up with a quarterback tonight because they moved for someone, is, as you say, what did you give up? It's also a timing question. You know, you need to know what it costs you at every pick as you go down the line. What, yes. You need to have had these conversations. Are you not willing? You don't want to trade with me? I understand. We're in the same division. That's well, okay. But everybody else, what does it cost me? How much do you think this pick is worth so we have some sort of a blueprint, so we're not on the phone arguing about this? We have an arrangement. I'm going to call you on draft day. Maybe we can figure something out. And we'll see if indeed they get on their horse. And as I said to you a while ago, my fear is, given the draft history and given the sort of lack of respect for draft picks, and I mean understanding the value of them, you don't want to be the team that always has to kind of make the beak a little wetter in order to make a move.
Absolutely. You have to read the draft economy, if you will, because right. You have to see how the market is fluctuating and what is the going rate for a quote-unquote franchise quarterback. And you just know. You just know there is a general manager out there that is relishing the phone call he gets from Ryan Pace tonight when the Bears feel like they want to explore the idea of moving up. And they will explore those ideas, beginning with the Falcons at number 4. They've got to do that. It falls under the category of due diligence. But that's when you hope that, at least I hope, that he maintains this level head, that he blocks out the noise and he does the thing that it doesn't threaten. And again, I'm looking at this glass half empty. Forgive me for reading, you know, history of the Chicago Bears' recent drafts. But Ryan Pace is making a move tonight, and if he makes the wrong move, it threatens to set the franchise back as far as it did when he drafted Mitch Trubisky. And that's the thing I can't get past, is if you make the move and it works, terrific, you're a hero. But if you don't, we've been there before, and we've been down that road, and it's amazing that he's still on it.
Yeah, it is amazing. Okay, there's other Bears news. They are not shooting down, denying any rumors about Arlington Park. Obviously, that's not an overnight type thing, but eventually, could we see the Bears move from the lakefront and move to Arlington Park? Something we'll be keeping an eye on for a long time. The Carolina Panthers trading Teddy Bridgewater to the Broncos for a 6th-round pick. Teddy Bridgewater still only 28 years old, and the Broncos would eat $7 million of that, which means, or excuse me, the Panthers would eat $7 million, which means the Broncos $3 million for that's Mitch Trubisky type pay for a quarterback. that he's only 2.5, but $3 million for Teddy Bridgewater. I still say they're in it for a quarterback, and they're going to wait and see if anyone comes to them. So keep an eye on that. The Lions apparently have tried to move up to number 4. They want Ja'Marr Chase. The Lions, no matter the administration, they want to just draft a wide receiver every year, wow. Preferably year after year. So that was fascinating to read. Atlanta's asking price apparently too steep. So can you imagine what they're expecting if the Bears want to move to 4? That's crazy.
That's the point. You don't yes, know what is. They're going to yep. be asking. What is the price of your franchise quarterback? Right now, I'm not sure it's one the Bears want to try to afford. So you have to read the room. You have to read the marketplace tonight in the hours leading up to the first pick. And that Broncos move, certainly they are still open for business and looking for the quarterback of the future. Teddy Bridgewater is a smart move for them because is quality depth. But if they go into the season, Teddy Bridgewater is your starter, I'm not sure they feel very good about their prospects this year. They're in a different spot than the Bears. And we can debate whether or not, you know, the Bears should have waited for Bridgewater and made the same move, and Bridgewater versus Dalton. And that's not exactly, you're not exactly comparing, you know, Rodgers versus Brady there, but that got a lot of attention on Bears Twitter yesterday in the social media realm.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting to watch it unfold. All right, we said Cubs got blown out again. They're stacking losses. Their pitching rotation is a disaster. They are using all sorts of field position players, at least they did yesterday, to pitch. Oh, how fun. The White Sox got a doubleheader today. We'll get into all of this talk. The Bulls lose yet again. The Blackhawks host the Panthers tonight. Hard to get much juice on that one when you got the NFL draft going. We'll talk about all of it. We'll start with the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Which was worse, the Cubs getting shut out for the second straight night and fifth time already this season, or Anthony Rizzo yucking it up on the mound down 10-0 after striking out Freddie Freeman as one of three position players David Ross asked to pitch in this farcical game?
Oh, I don't know that you can compare those two things. I mean, the Cubs getting blown out is obviously a huge problem. Kyle Hendricks and whatever's going on with him, a huge, huge problem. And that's the negative stuff. Anthony Rizzo striking out Freddie Freeman, unfortunately, may be the Cubs' answer, 2021 answer, to Mark Burley's perfect game. It may be the highlight of the season, seeing a smiling Anthony Rizzo and a smiling Freddie Freeman and two guys that basically share the same kind of personality. Those kids are fantastic. They're playing a child's game, and they're having that childlike moment together. Just a glorious and wondrous thing. And, I mean, to strike him out, he's got bragging rights now forever. That's the reigning league MVP. Yeah, everybody should get on board with that. That's so much fun when you remind everyone, hey, take it easy. It's early in the season. Everything's going to be okay. Come on. Come on, guys, let's have some fun. So, you know, I don't know that it was a farcical game. I mean, it was a game in which they were dominated. It was actually the only moment in the game, if you were a Cub fan, that you could actually have a laugh. So, you know, lighten up, Francis. Enjoy the season and buckle up. It's going to be a fun ride.
Okay, I guess. I mean, I guess laughing is better than crying. It didn't bother me necessarily, but seeing some of the reaction, I could understand why people might cringe a little bit at seeing Anthony Rizzo after the Cubs fall behind 10-0, and it's been, you know, 3 days since they scored a run, and the fact that they're in the midst of their fifth straight loss and they haven't won since last Friday. And yeah, it's fun, and yeah, it's men playing a boys' game, but I also think that it's okay if people were triggered by that a little bit. But there are, again, two ways to look at everything, and one is, as I initially looked at it, like, that is funny. And Freddie Freeman's one of my favorite players in the National League. And I think when you see the way that he responded to striking out, you don't typically see that. And Rizzo's having fun making light of it. And maybe it will loosen up the Cubs. I don't know. Nothing else has worked. So maybe that will be the case. But I also get the other side of it. If Cubs fans are so fed up, it's not necessarily just seeing last night 10-0. It's two games without a run and five games without a victory and a month to open the season that's felt like a year and an off season where they didn't spend, and all the frustration that just continues to mount. So you want to get the message from your favorite players that it's not acceptable, that they are as fed up as you feel. And I guess to some people that would be, you know, contrary to what you saw in Rizzo laughing after striking out somebody in a 10-0 game. He wanted the ball. He's going to save the ball. He's going to get a signed jersey. That's great, and I think it is fun. But I can also understand the other side that was represented via social media and to a couple friends that I did actually, Cub fans, who two people in particular were like, why are they doing that here? I mean, it's sort of like an open question, but hey, I guess if you can't laugh, again, laughing beats crying.
Yes, laughing beats crying. I'll start there and agree with that statement. The worst part of the game, and it's not part of the question as an option, was Kyle Hendricks giving up two first inning, two run home runs. That was the worst part of the game. The alleged ace of this staff, and he might not even be the fifth starter right now. That's how poorly his season has started. And I guess it's fun when it's not your team. But when it's your team and they're down 10-0 and they've lost three in a row, on their way to losing three in a row, on their way to possibly getting swept, on their way to dropping another series, on their way to being shut out for the, okay, yada, it keeps piling on. And that's why it's not cute. That's why it's not fun. I get it if it ends up on a highlight show. I get it if fans of other teams find it entertaining and fun, but there's nothing fun about it. And the other part is, like, go ahead and strike the guy out and just walk back to the mound. Just walk back. And I didn't quite understand. It could somebody, like, he pitched and then he went back to first base and then Duffy was on the mound, right? So how did that work out? That seemed bizarre to me, that like he went from first base to the pitching mound, back to first base. And then Duffy's pitching, and then
Rossi,
Duffy gets the final
the
out of the inning.
Rossi yeah. came out with the gloves for
yeah.
the big
exchange. They have to switch the gloves around. Yeah. It's so, yep. I mean, you may as well have just put the Bad News Bears music on and told the broadcasters not even to bother to talk anymore, and they could have just played a loop of that bed from about the middle of the first inning on. So the worst part was that that's not fun. When it's your team, that's not fun. It's not funny, and I didn't like anything at all about it.
I think that's a great topic, great question to kind of think through.
What should the Cubs do about Kyle Hendricks, the ace in name only, who got rocked again and now has given up 7 first inning home runs?
Yeah, you don't want to start your ace and you end up bringing your first baseman in relief, and now you're wondering if maybe Anthony Rizzo should be your fifth starter. That's a problem that has no answer. I mean, Kyle Hendricks, this was not going to be part of the discussion as the first month of the season ends, is what to do about Kyle Hendricks. He wasn't supposed to be like this. This wasn't supposed to go this way. You have no other options. I mean, Jake Arrieta is your de facto ace. How long is that going to last? How long is he going to be consistent? You can't really count on that. Kyle Hendricks might consider skipping a start. You might consider shutting him down for a little bit, starting over mechanically. You wonder, he alluded to tipping pitches. You wonder, you almost hope that it's something like that. You hope that it's something like he's been so obvious and easy to read that this has an explanation, because this is way too fast to fall off the cliff, to go from being ace of the staff to somebody who you dread seeing go to the mound. And that's where we are with him. So he is the ace in name only. He's given up so many home runs. I think more home runs in the first inning than several teams, the most teams in Major League Baseball. And you just don't know what it is. How do you address it? Rest, I suppose, and try something else. Because whatever he's trying to do, whatever is you know, has worked in the past, it's not working now. So I think you have to put the professor in a sabbatical for a little bit to find out if he can, you know, find some answers.
You know, Dustin is right when he says that the first inning was really the horror story, because you're talking about a guy that is, his struggles and troubles were obvious immediately. And it's been that way now for a few games. And it's certainly, for two against Atlanta, it's been very difficult to watch. The idea that is he struggling more than Zach Davies, that's not even that shouldn't be ever a topic of conversation. But I think that that Kyle Hendricks, I think I was more disturbed by the post game than I was by the first inning, if that makes any sense. He was lost. He could not articulate what was wrong or where he was at and why this was happening. He really, get him in the pitch lab, right? I mean, this is a guy that can think his way out of whatever situation he's in. He's thought his way into being a really good pitcher in Major League Baseball. I cannot believe that this is happening, because he's the guy that needs to take the mound, take the ball, and stop losing streaks, not the guy that needs to add to him. And, you know, it's interesting, because a lot of these questions are getting almost kind of editorialized in the reading of them, because it's a farcical game. You know, just the turn of phrase we're using is, there's an underlying sort of anger about everything. And I think that we're at a dangerous point in the Cubs season right now. Right now. Is it a five-game losing streak? You know, you go from actually going through like four games where you're hitting and you're getting runs to this. This is just utterly unacceptable. And you worry that the answer to it is going to be the big trade. Not the big trade for, but the big trade off.
A week ago tomorrow, this Cub fan was feeling really good about what was going on over at Clark and Addison. They were hammering the ball. Bryant was in a groove. Baez was in a groove. Contreras was in a groove. All your guys that you need to hit and hit for power were hitting for power. A week ago tomorrow was a really good day for the Cubs, and they haven't had one since then. And we talked about it during this segment of yesterday's show that last night would have been the perfect time for Kyle Hendricks to take back his crown, take it away, take it off the head of Jake Arrieta, and become king ace of the Cubs pitching staff. And then to come out and have the first inning that he had, to have that kind of a performance, I mean, that is absolutely awful. And then David, rest. The guy works one out of every 5 days for cry eye. He needs rest. Rest. And then we're going to go to the old textbook. I must be tipping my pitches. That's it. I must be tipping my pitches. Okay, whatever makes you sleep at night, Kyle. Whatever was going to help you sleep in the Four Seasons in Atlanta last night, in Buckhead or Bucktown, whatever the hell they call that area in Atlanta, then God bless you, okay? If that's what helped you go to bed, then fine. But they got to figure this out quick because it is spinning out of control right in front of us. The best news for them is that the NFL draft is today, and it's draft day. And tomorrow, win or lose, we probably won't be talking too much about the Cubs because Ryan Pace is bound to make a mistake that we're going to hammer him for the majority of Friday's show.
I'm struggling how to answer that one.
In the aftermath of Tony La Russa's latest regrettable mistake, leaving Lucas Giolito in too long Tuesday night, is there any doubt in your mind whether La Russa will finish this season as the Sox manager? How do you think he's handled the first month of the season?
Oh, my God. I mean, we're talking about the guy can't make it through the year, and we're talking about it not because of age or energy. We're talking about it because of decisions. The Hall of Fame manager is not functioning in the fashion in which the Sox fans would want. You know, this is Tony La Russa's year. I don't know. I think, you know, we're all day to day. We're all kind of year to year. I don't know that we can look at this and say that we're all going to be here after the draft. Isn't that what we heard from Kyle Shanahan? We don't know about our own mortality. And I'm talking career-wise, not actual mortality. Hopefully we're all here. I got to be honest with you. That the idea that we've gone from, wow, he may have made a bad decision to, will he last the rest of the year? That is a very quick turn, and it's one that's being made. I think it's almost an ageist type thing. Tony La Russa is the manager of the White Sox. If they win the World Series, then maybe he would decide that he's no longer interested in that job or wants that job. I don't think Tony's going to quit, and I know Jerry's not going to fire him. And I know we've got all the big voice guy with all the options. I mean, I've heard some of it. They played it yesterday in the afternoon show. They had an interesting discussion about this. But I think I think people are just rushing to be the first one to get there. It's a month into the season, and if you're honestly of the belief that the guy won't last the year, you're not following the story. This has to do with the relationship with the owner, with years and years of the two of them doing their plotting, and I don't see it as a viable option, frankly. I get it. I understand. It's been a lot worse than we thought. And you look at someone of a certain age and you wonder, is there room for improvement? But I think these are separate issues, and I think we're getting way ahead of ourselves. And I get it, you know, how do you go bankrupt, right? Slowly and all at once. I understand all the lines involved, but I would be stunned if La Russa doesn't finish the year. I really would be.
Yeah, I don't think that he's a quitter, and I don't think that I don't think that he's leaning in that direction. And I understand why people want to have that conversation, perhaps, or initiate it, because that's kind of what we do. But I the question is there any doubt in your mind whether La Russa will finish the season as a Sox manager? I don't really have any doubts. I mean, obviously, unforeseen circumstances, if there's any health reasons that get in the way, but I cannot see him walking away from a challenge that he came back to conquer. And I cannot see any scenario where Jerry Reinsdorf admits that maybe this isn't working well and you know, empowers Rick Hahn to make a move. That just isn't going to work. Jerry Reinsdorf just is almost too stubborn if he ever got to that point, if things got into free fall. I think this is what happens. It's just a relatively slow start for the White Sox, who are still above 500, have a lot of reasons to feel like things will come together. It's a team that has dealt with a lot of unforeseen injuries, a lot of quirky injuries, a lot of things that have happened. And you have had Tony La Russa from a, you know, if we are evaluating him strictly as a manager, he's had a kind of an uneven start in April. So this has also contributed to, I guess, the conversation surrounding it. I heard Matt Spiegel predict that he wouldn't be the manager by opening day next year. And that's, you know, that's something to say a year out. But I get when you make the kind of moves that Tony La Russa has made, or you don't make the moves that invite the kind of scrutiny that they welcome. I mean, if you're a World Series contender, you've got to deal with that kind of second guessing and those expectations and falling short of them, and all that comes with the territory. But I don't think that La Russa is the kind of guy that would walk away prematurely, and I think he's here to finish the job, and he wants to win. He's competitive, and I think that he's been more open to the second guessing than maybe I anticipated, and that has been a little bit of a surprise. So the only good news about that is I can guarantee you, the only thing we can guarantee is he'll continue to be second guessed.
I don't see Tony La Russa here next year unless they win the World Series. I think that's the only way Tony La Russa is back for a second go of it. I don't think Jerry Reinsdorf would allow Tony to be fired. But the way it started, and he does, it's not an ageism thing. I don't want it to come off that way. But he looks tired in the pregame. He looks tired in the postgame. And the team, I'm not as close to or as fan as some others, but they don't seem as engaged. They don't seem like they're having as much fun maybe as they've had in the past. And maybe Tony's ultra competitiveness is even grinding them out to a certain extent. And maybe, just maybe, behind the scenes, Tony just walks away. If they get to the All-Star break and they're 500 or just above 500 or just below 500, maybe at that point Tony just walks away. But we'll have to wait and see.
I hope you guys understand we can't get into the details. I'm sorry in advance for any questions I can't answer, but I promise I'll do my best.
What should be the Bears' number one priority in the 2021 NFL draft? Can you please just name one position they must fill over the next 3 days?
Well, I think that the number one position that you can't finish this draft without addressing is the quarterback position. You've got to draft a quarterback. I doubt it will be in the first round. I'd be okay with it in the second round. We can talk about the options later. But that, to me, is definitely the mandate. You cannot finish this draft with the 8 picks that you have and not one of them be a quarterback. So direct answer to the direct question is that is the one position they must fill or address. Now, what should the number one priority being number one priority in this draft? That it's not necessarily the quarterback. I don't think you're fixated on that. Again, I'll say that if I were handing Ryan Pace a piece of paper, it would say offensive tackle or cornerback, no matter what. That's the priority, is to make your team better for week one of the 2021 season. That is the mandate. That is the need that exists. And I think that you could make that argument if you get a quarterback in the first round, but the quarterback in the first round you draft isn't starting week one if things go the way that they should. And you don't want to rush that guy onto the field. So I would think that you'd go into tonight with that sort of priority. Get somebody that can help right away.
Boy, I got to tell you, I mean, the only position that really matters in the league anymore is the quarterback position. It is the position that is, you know, most overdrafted. And, you know, we don't have to look far in Chicago to see examples of overdrafted and discarded quarterbacks. I mean, you know, you hype a guy up, you overdraft him, you trade up to get him, and then you cut him. That's what happens in the NFL at that position. It is the most difficult position to be able to figure out. I think if your priority is offensive tackle and cornerback, and I do not deny that those are two positions they have to fill, I think that they probably need the corner more than the offensive tackle. But if I were the drafter, I would take an offensive tackle at number 20. I would come back and take the corner in the second round, and then I would worry about a wide receiver and a quarterback as the draft went on. And that may be an incredibly stupid way of answering the quarterback problem, but if you want an offensive tackle, you want a good one, you want someone that's going to start the way you described, David, day one, you got to get him at 20.
Yep.
Or you got to get him in the first round. And in a corner, you can get lucky with a little bit later. There's depth at the position. You can't really wait too long. With the quarterbacks, it seems like there are guys that you can stumble upon later in a draft. Now, it's not the answer that you want to hear when it comes to the Bears because they don't have the number one guy to begin with. But, you know, I mean, everyone says it all the time. Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. Everyone says it. You know, Fitzmagic, I think he was a seventh-round pick. There are ways of approaching and solving that position that don't have immediacy to them if you're good enough to be able to absorb something and have a guy that can figure it out. I don't know that the Bears are capable of finding that player, but I know that it's not going to work at 20. They're going to have to get on their horse if they want that guy, and I think that's a bad idea. So I'm going to go with offensive tackle because you can get an immediate impact from that position. You can with corner as well, and it happened last year. The guy they got was a second-round pick, and maybe they have to do that again this year. But if I'm being completely sober and honest about it, I'm looking at that quarterback position, and I'm saying I'm not in the top 10. I'm not getting to the top 10, and I'm not going to be able to solve that problem unless I'm in the top 10.
When this draft wraps up, the Bears must have a cornerback that can start week one. That's it. It doesn't have to be tonight, but they have to have a cornerback that can start week one. That is the position they must address that can play and help right away.
And that's a great question.
Gut feeling right now, who do the Bears pick at number 20 if they stay put? Who do they pick if they move up?
I'm going to say Tevin Jenkins, the offensive tackle, if they stay at number 20. And I say that because there's certainty that he will be there at number 20. I mean, if Christian Darrisaw fell, if there was a guy that I had higher on my board, I would take him at number 20. But I think Tevin Jenkins is definitely going to be there at number 20. And I think that they need to address that position in the first round because you can't really find it later on. They've been going through that sort of thing and shopping for a guy for a long time. So I'll say that. If they go up, it's going to be for a quarterback. I don't think I want to see him go up for a wide receiver. Jamar Chase ends up falling a little bit. Yes, please, get on your horse. I would even go if you had a chance to get the tight end. I wouldn't have a problem with it. If you feel that there is a guy that is a talent that is going to be generational, then feel free to do that. But they're not going to do that. So if they trade up, it's going to be for a quarterback. And my fear would be it would be Trey Lance.
I hope that Christian Darrisaw is on the board when the Bears draft 20th. If he is, the gut says, the head says, the heart says, you pick him, you call it a night, and that's a good night. And you get your offensive tackle. And I have seen him mocked anywhere between 13 and 24, so it's possible, but it's unlikely. Tevin Jenkins is a good backup plan at offensive tackle. But if Darrisaw is off the board, the question asks, what does your gut say? My gut says if Darrisaw is off the board, they're drafting Greg Newsom. I think they like the idea of the local cornerback, not just because he's local, but because he ran a 4.38 at Pro Day. He's succeeded against Big Ten competition. And he is, as Fitz said yesterday, he's technically sound. He's had some injury issues, but I think they like the idea of getting the corner at that spot so he can be a week one starter potentially, like Jalen Johnson was, who was drafted in the second round. So I would think Darrisaw, if he's there, and if he's not, my gut says, and he won't be, Greg Newsom would be the pick. If they do move up and if they have to, you know, feel compelled to follow that, who would they do that for? I think Justin Fields would be the guy that if he continues to drop and they're sitting there, you know, maybe it's the team between 10 and 12. Maybe it's a team between 13 and 15. I don't know. But if Justin Fields is on the board, there's going to be that inner voice that Ryan Pace hears saying, go trade up, get him. I just hope he ignores it.
I do too. I would say don't do that, Ryan. Don't do that. I'm going to stick with Virginia Tech. With the 20th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select cornerback Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech. He screams Ryan Pace. This is an individual that had a back surgery. Without the back surgery, he's a top 10. He's a top 10 pick without the back surgery. He should still be there. It would be a stretch if he wasn't there. He's a first round. He's going to get picked tonight, for sure. He's going to get picked tonight. And I just believe that this guy screams. He just screams Ryan Pace. And he will be criticized because of the back surgery. But I believe with the 20th pick tonight, that's who they draft. They draft Virginia Tech cornerback,
yeah,
Caleb Farley. Listen, shake your head. I'm not saying I agree with the pick. I'm telling you who I think they are going to pick. That's what they're going to do.
I got to talk about it, though. I mean, it's not just one injury. It's multiple injuries. I agree with you. He would definitely
And he's got
be
the
a,
COVID.
He would be, and he currently has COVID.
He's at home. But, he won't be in Cleveland tonight. He's got the COVID.
Yes, but the fact of the matter is that he's so boom or bust. It is hard. See, what I'm saying to you is if you take someone, you can get a tackle, and it's not boom or bust. David, I like your pick. That's not boom or bust to me.
No, no.
But Dustin, that is so boom or bust. It's almost.
It's so Ryan Pace. It's Ryan Pace.
The other practical matter is that, you know, you describe everything right in terms of his health questions. He could be there in the second round. He could be there in the second round. We heard Mike Lombardi say yesterday, the team that he just got done talking
he's getting picked tonight. I'll admit, if there's a bet out there at Bet Rivers or at FanDuel, whether he gets
I'll bet you Bud
not.
Light he doesn't. I'll bet you Bud okay. Light that Caleb Farley is passed tonight because of the back surgeries, which is nothing to sneeze at, guys. I mean, a cornerback in the NFL with coming off back surgery?
That's insane, Dustin. I love you, but I mean, if you're picking one player – it's a long shot, boom or bust type, and you're going to bet a beer on it? I'll take the case. Let's go.
Again, in the spirit of the question is who are the Bears picking tonight? Not who Dustin's picking. My gut tells me that the Bears are picking this guy because he just screams Ryan Pace. Boomer. Listen, the cornerback from Northwestern is a safer pick, but Farley's got a way better upside than that kid from Northwestern. And so I just think if those two guys are sitting there, I think that's where Ryan Pace goes.
Holy cow. All right. 312-644-6767, Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best. best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.